This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Fockers.
Whoa.
We are here for episode, what is this? Charter, I think you asked this question, I believe. 15,
16? 16, 117, something like that.
116, 117. Charterhouse Real Estate Office. Where are you located, Mark?
We're located in Skankeny, Iowa.
Oh my God.
Corner of Delaware and First. It's a beautiful thing. I'm excited today. You know, Chris Williams, great guy. Like, we can all admit that.
Average at what he does, though.
Average at what he does, for sure. And feel free to say anything today, because I guarantee you he won't listen to this. He doesn't go back and listen to this stuff if he's not on it. But we've got Chris Williams. Let's describe him this way. He can be a little guarded. He's one of those people that worries about things like pleasing the boss and getting fired and all that stuff. Our guest today, Ross Peterson, does not feel that way at all.
Not at all.
He brings it.
Let it fly, baby. Let's go.
You have more tenure, don't you?
When you're a jack of all trades, like I feel like I provide so much to the radio station that they're like, yeah, we'll let him get away with some stuff here because he's also doing this other thing. So, that's part of my secret is keep as many people dependent on me as possible. That way I can screw up a few jobs and maintain employment. Right.
Makes sense to me.
I agree completely.
And I've got great bosses. Like Joel McRae at the radio station is very open about the whole, listen, just don't make bad press and we're all right. But as long as people are calling my boss and saying, I'm mad at something I heard Ross say, his response for the most part is, I'm glad you heard him say it.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. You know, it's kind of that adage, Mark, and it goes, hey, this billboard just got your attention, proves that this can work.
Sure.
And you can advertise here and this stuff.
Yeah.
Has some success. So it's in a way that's the same sort of mentality.
As the saying goes, and it's not completely true, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Well, there is.
Yeah.
There is. But it means people were paying attention.
Right.
They saw what you or heard what you said or saw what you wrote or whatever. But yeah, you actually cut back a little bit on the jobs, didn't you? I was talking to you, you said you're not quite as busy these days.
A ton.
On purpose, though.
I cut back a bunch. Well, we had another kid. So I've got a six-month-old little baby girl since the last time I was on with you, I didn't have a little baby. She's going to be walking in the door any minute. I just got a text from the wife.
Okay. All right. Hopefully not walking or you got a really, really
advanced
baby.
Yeah, advanced. Yeah, and she's not nothing like that.
Yep.
So that was a big life change. But, man, I was writing for a Cubs blog. I was writing for Hawkeye Nation. I had a bunch of stuff going on with Grandview. I was doing a lot of, like, freelance commercial work. And it just was too much. It was way too much. I wasn't doing anything at home. My relationships were suffering. The important stuff was falling apart. So
yep.
I locked that all down, and it's
good for you for
helped.
Noticing and making a change.
Helped.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it had to be done. Yeah. I mean, you guys are family guys, you know, and that's the most
allegedly
important thing.
Debatable.
Right.
Yeah.
We all try to play that role, right? Like, yeah, I kind of care about my – but
one of us is going to Mexico with their wives at the end of the month, and one of us is not taking their wife. So you can decide who's who.
Why you got to throw me under the bus like that, man?
Just saying, Mr. Family Guy.
Hopefully my wife does not listen, because if she did listen, she would not be happy. Yeah.
You're not taking your wife to Mexico?
Well, it's not my trip. I am the invited. It's completely different.
Now, see, Charter, come on. You can't do that
your
buddy.
Don't mess up my story with details.
Come with facts.
It's not as impactful when that happens.
So would your wife be okay if you said, hey, by the way, I'm going on a vacation to Mexico for a week without you?
Not right now, because I've done that enough. I go on like fishing trips with my friends and stuff, and so I've been on enough vacations without her that the next one has to be with her, or
that's fair.
It'll be bad.
But you do that stuff, though.
Yeah.
But fishing's not something that she probably cares to do.
Not at all.
See, if I was going on a fishing trip, my wife would be cool with it. But going to Mexico, where you're drinking at the beach, she sits there and says, this is BS. I want to go to Mexico, too.
That's exactly the boat I'm in. So that's why I'm amazed you're able to get away with this. You are going to make this trip?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, you were invited to go. Now, okay, Mark's invited me on trips before, and I could get away with that. I could say, hey, I'm going with Mark and a group of guys, and we're going to do this thing. And I think my wife would be okay with that scenario. I'm assuming that's kind of how this...
Well, so this is with clients, right? So this is with people I do business with. So that helps.
It
helps. I mean, she's not like irate or anything, but she's also kind of bummed and not over... Like, she does not want me to talk about it. If I'm like, hey, take a look at the pictures of the place we're staying, she says, F you.
Yeah,
get the hell out of here.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So. My wife is very similar to that, but she is, in fact, going. Speaking of trips, again, you've always got this built-in excuse because of your many jobs, again. But October 21st, the Hawkeyes are playing at Northwestern that day. So you're going to pull the, I got to do the show and stuff. But we'd really like you to come to Vegas one of these years.
Man.
It's a great time.
We're well-behaved.
Great group of guys.
Yeah,
we cause no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah.
We're a civilized group of young men.
Most of us.
Well, not young anymore. But it's a heck of a trip.
I can only imagine, man. We'll talk about that.
In October.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as we get closer.
So your wife's coming in here in a little bit.
She's going to be walking in the door any minute. Yeah.
Charter and I, we'll butter her up. Yeah, we'll talk to her a little bit.
Can we corner her?
We'll smooth this Vegas trip over for you. No problem.
Well, it's not the wife. The October trip would not be a problem with the wife. The problem with that is I take a big fishing trip at the end of September.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's putting those things back to back, I'd miss a couple of different sound offs, and that wouldn't be okay.
We're trying to convince Williams to go as
He's
well.
He's not going
to
go. We need to just stop.
Yeah. But the theory that they also had their call-in show or whatever Williams does after a game, it's like, well, they have radio equipment and phones in Vegas.
Right.
It's like, I think it'd be cool to do a recap show from the sports book. Talk about how much action was put on the Cyclones that day and stuff. Mix it up a little bit.
You might get into some trouble trying to record something inside of a sports
book. They might.
With permission, of course.
Yeah, good luck on that.
That'd be an interesting thing to do, yeah.
Your old buddy Peralt, though, I don't know if he was a buddy, but you knew him. He used to do one from Emeril Lagasse Stadium out there, which we were in last year.
That was a cool place.
Which is a restaurant/sportsbook. Yeah. You can bet they had the radio booth right there, right in the venue, which is kind of cool.
So tell us how you really feel about Peralt. I picked up a little something.
I didn't have a problem with Peralt, but, you know, you don't mesh with everybody, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way I would say Matt and I – We were coworkers.
Did you ever call mean names to his face?
No, I don't think he and I ever got.
Man, listen, like he obviously does this a lot to others. Yeah. He had to weed through. You don't strike me as a mean guy. Maybe I just haven't brought that out of you yet.
Gray and I were talking about this before you walked in the room here, mm-hmm. Mark. That I am a guy. I'm gonna piss you off eventually. The more you get to know me. I'm a very opinionated guy. But I have bad days, and I get angry, and I say things. I get this verbal diarrhea.
Here's the thing, though. I think, and you can disagree with me, but somewhat based on how we were raised, our fathers worked at the same company, and we went to iCubs games. Mm-hmm. I think you and I are very similar.
We are, Mark. We're a lot alike. And I'm going to tell you what I think. It doesn't mean that I hate you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what I think about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinions can change. That pisses people off. I get angry. That pisses people off. So over the course of time, man, I'm going to make 3 people mad a year, and I've been at the same place for 15 years. So there's 45 people.
You're running out of people.
I'm running out of people, brother.
So you've been on the show with Chris for 2 years now.
Yeah.
How often have you guys been pissed at each other?
Oh,
gosh, I get called every day when these passed out.
Yeah. It. We've had a couple little blow-ups. I mean, a couple times a year, I get I'm a volcano. You know, I rumble, 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 and then all of a sudden I blow. It happens at home. It happens
at least
work.
You acknowledge it.
And I usually come back and apologize when it's over.
Yeah.
And hopefully something productive comes out of it. And we were also talking about this. My best relationships in my life have come out of moments like that. And I've also weeded some fakers out of my life in those moments.
Couldn't handle it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You snap on somebody, you get it all out, and you say, all right, now I'm sorry I did that. I know that was very childish of me, and I want to move on, but now we all know what the score is, right?
Yep.
And some people can't handle it. And
a lot of people.
For the most part, I think I'm in the wrong about that. I'm not trying to defend it. I wish I didn't have that personality trait.
And the older you get, I bet the softer you'll become on some of that. I would imagine. You don't think so?
Yeah, certainly from like 25 to now.
Yeah.
When I was 25, I was a punk. I knew everything, and I was extremely opinionated about stuff. I'm working at WHO with Jan Michelson, and, you know, so it was like lighting bombs every day. It was fun.
Yeah.
So I've softened on that, but I'm also like, I'm so much more jaded about the hypocrisy of people. You know, when you see somebody's outrage in one area and not in another, I get more aggravated by that now than I am inspired by their passion and inspiration, especially in the political world. I see it all the time.
Yep.
On both sides. And the thing I'm most proud of is standing in the middle and being able to just go, oh, man, what is wrong with people that just will defend anything that's on their side and attack anything that's on the other side. You can put whatever letters you want behind it. It's just amazing.
See, Chris would be shutting us down normally at this point. Cause
I feel like it's my job now to just turn the page.
Anytime you veer slightly into anything political, Chris gets all itchy over there. He doesn't like it. And political is really what is divisive these days, I think. But I think one of the benefits, you and I being opposite of Gray. Gray's one of those guys who will keep his feelings to himself. Because
I don't see that.
No, Gray.
Everybody
Gray wants
pitches. Gray as some dude that
Gray
I don't
wants.
See.
Gray wants everybody to like him, which is fine.
That's probably
which is
true.
Fine. And
I'm,
you and
I
and
him
you,
on Twitter, and that's not the case.
And you and I don't care about that. Yeah. Now, everybody at their core wants people to like him, certainly. But I think Gray wants to be best friends with everybody, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't care about that.
Am I allowed to defend myself?
I'd be happy. I'd be happy with three really good friends instead of 300 so-so friends.
Gray, here's the deal. The fact that you just asked that question answers a lot of things. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead and defend yourself.
I think you're 100% right. I have probably three guys that I would consider. Yeah, I don't want to say best friends because I hate the best friends, but really, really good friends. Yeah. But I would love to have 300, 400, 500 friends. The more people that I can be friends with, and I don't know. I always look at it as trying to bring people together too. Hey, if I can help one person because I know somebody else that I'm friends with, and they can do business together, or they can become friends together because they're a lot alike, or their kids are similar ages, and they can get together. I even going back to high school, I've always enjoyed having friends that. You know, maybe some guys were football players, some guys were show choir, some people were band. It didn't matter to me. So you're right. I do like it when people like me, but it doesn't. I used to hate it when people hated me. I used to hate it. It doesn't bother me anymore. Like I prefer it if they like me. But if I'm on Twitter, or I'm on Cyclone Fanatic, and I know based on how someone reacts to me that they don't like me or they don't like what I'm saying. That you 5-10 years ago would have killed me.
I think you get to the point. You get to the point where that happens, or someone says, "Oh, they think you're a dick" or whatever, and I'll admit that's happened to me before. the reaction, the natural reaction you have is, "Okay, they're lost. You know, if they want to be my friend, so be it." I mean, and the older you get, I think the more that you feel that way. And I am somewhat of a hybrid because no, I don't want the 300 friends, but the connecting thing. It's like Vegas. We have this Vegas group chat now that goes all year long, basically, with 12 people in it, 11
it's
people.
Horrible, Ross.
He
it's
loves
horrible.
It. He'd miss it. He'd miss it if it was gone. But all of those people.
This is the one with all the Cubs stuff on it. All
there's some Cubs stuff.
Season.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard about this.
It's brilliant.
It's like April 18th, and he's complaining because they lost
different.
A 2-1 game.
Every day is different. But now, so there's 11 dudes in that group that are now I would consider friends with each other. that for the most part didn't know each other before I brought them all to Vegas.
Right.
Okay, so that's cool
yeah.
when that happens. But no, I'm not. I'm well past wanting everybody to like me. I think you might be this way too. Are you guarded? So by that I mean you meet somebody and you might like, you might not like them, but you're not going to quickly say like, all right, you're in the circle now until you figure out if they're worth being in the circle. And then when they're in, that's good. That's when you're loyal. That's where, you know, it's they like being your friend, all of that stuff. But I admit fully to doing that.
Yeah, I'd say everybody's probably like that in some way, but I would that there's a sliding scale in there, and I'm probably on a different side of that than you are in that I open up to people a lot earlier on than most. I mean, my deep dark secrets are pretty much out in the open, and that doesn't mean I don't have a tight group of friends. You know, I've got a guy I do call my best friend and have since high school, and I've got another group of five or six guys that if I, you know, in an emergency, these are my dudes. On the 4th of July, on, you know, any given night, if I'm going out, that's the first text I'm sending is that group mm-hmm. to say, hey, who has plans tonight? And then there's kind of a secondary group of guys, right, that you would reach out to and say, hey, what's going on? And then I have guys that I'd consider you guys friends.
Yeah.
Right? Now, have I ever reached out to you on a Saturday night and said, hey, man.
I've noticed. Yeah. You have not.
I haven't done that with Chris. So yeah.
It's because you'd say, come down to the east side, man, or something. Well, I'd be like, I can't do that. I'm scared of that.
This would be my explanation. We're all creatures of habit, and I've got this group of guys. Come on in, honey.
Hi. She doesn't know how those doors work.
Oh,
push them to the side.
Oh, don't. Yeah, don't,
from the
don't push.
From the middle.
Got to swing.
Yep.
There you go. Hi. How are you?
Do you want to come on air?
Oh, you have an embarrassing situation? Can you tell us about
it? Can we put it on Ken
here? Here, come here. Put on his headset.
This is going to be maybe great. I don't know.
This is my lovely wife, Erin. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Went to the shop to get the car window fixed.
Yeah.
That Ross said wouldn't roll back up. And it was not ever broken. It rolled right back up.
Stop
so
it.
We've been driving around with the window
Stop
down.
It.
Now, when you say, you're using an old term there, just when you say roll, we think literally
no,
roll.
No,
is this electric?
We have an old Jeep Cherokee.
Okay. Yeah. So it is a roll. What do you mean it just worked? Like, you didn't even try the crank?
He's like, so you're saying this is off the track? And I'm like, well, Ross said it wouldn't roll up. And he's like, oh, it's just fine.
No, you were with me the other day when I tried to roll it up, and it stopped. Stop! And it was even pinching against the window seal and pulling the seal off the car. It wasn't rolling up.
Apparently, when you shut the door, it fixed itself. Is it one of those things?
I'm gonna go with that.
That's
So I'm gonna go home now.
Way to go, Noodle Arms.
I love you.
Those window cranks are tough. Oh man. You have a story for the show later today. Now,
Ross, why don't you drop down and give us some push-ups there, buddy? Let's get some meat on those arms.
Oh man,
it's not possible. What she just explained is not even possible.
Well, it sounds like a professional car guy said it was.
Yeah.
Is there anything worse than that though? When you have someone come to fix it and write it, then all of a sudden it just works. I mean, like your computer's having issues. You take it into the
that
store,
that or the reverse of that, where you have the constant car noise and then they drive in and I hear nothing.
Yeah.
That's one of the most annoying things in the universe.
Yep.
It's like, well, it seems fine. It's not. There's a loud noise 90% of the time when I'm driving this thing.
Yeah, right.
That's frustrating.
Back to the friends thing. You know, when growing up here and kind of being around the same group of guys, I've had that group of friends for a long, long time. I mean, some of those guys I went to kindergarten with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have that guarded thing you're talking about where – it takes a lot to get into that tight group. But I really think the bigger thing here, Mark, is the older you get, it's not like you get more selective. You realize, it goes back to the family thing, there are only a handful of people in your life whose opinion really matter.
Sure.
And that's what comes back to the, oh, I don't care about what people think of me, or everybody cares about what people think about them. I would say eventually everybody gets to a point where you realize there are about 5 to 10 to 12 people.
Yeah.
Your parents, who are eventually going to pass away, hopefully before you.
Yep.
Your wife and your kids, who are going to be around your entire life, God willing. Maybe a couple of best friends who have been with you through thick and thin that mm-hmm. you would hate to disappoint.
Yep.
A boss, a coworker, something there, and that's it. You will come to that realization. That's it. That's the only people whose opinions matter. Now, that doesn't give you the right to go out and just piss people off, Gray. Okay?
I'll try not to.
Get out there on Twitter.
I'm going to try not to.
That's right. When you say Adam's a guy that wants everybody to love him, I don't get that from you. I see you as an opinionated guy who's not afraid to tell people, hey, piss off. This is how I think. And I see that.
Yeah.
And
I am opinionated. There's no question.
The fact that you're willing to do that on Twitter, I mean, maybe you are. And maybe
do
not.
Do I do that on Twitter?
And I get that impression that you're willing to do that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And not do that to somebody's face-to-face. Like, right, that makes you a good person.
Yeah.
That just means you're a decent human being that you're not going to say to somebody's face, hey, you're kind of a dick.
He's definitely, the extrovert of extroverts, though. Like, in Vegas is a great example. I've said this on the podcast before. Is that, like, I show up at a table to play blackjack 10 minutes after Gray's been at that table, right? He's now best friends with the dealer. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. He knows his secrets and his girlfriend's name and whatever. And I'm going to sit down. I don't give a crap about that. I'm there to take your money. I mean,
we'll
chit-chat.
It's my favorite part of blackjack.
You know, true story.
I'm more like him than you in that, aspect.
True story. We go to we're watching games last year on a Sunday. We're sitting there watching games, and there's a couple next to us in their 50s probably.
Yeah.
I think they're from Baltimore.
Late
maybe.
50s probably,
something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. And Gray's just chatting it up with them. He's hearing about their vasectomy that they had and all this stuff. And literally the rest of us get up to like leave to go elsewhere.
The party's moving.
And Gray decides to stay with them and keep the conversation going.
They bought me shots and beers and I
like
was that, just sitting
that's
there chatting
and that's a good thing. I'm not bashing it. I don't have that in me though. I'm like, all right, nice to meet you. See you later or whatever. Guy's like, nah, I want to hear about their grandkids
they're
or
telling
whatever.
About their daughter and their son, and I was enjoying hearing about their life and what they do, and I was very interested by it, so I stuck around and listened.
100% like you in yeah. that aspect, and Mark, that's what I was saying, that sliding scale of the yeah. Of the friends thing. My friends get mad at me because I'm probably too quick to try to bring people into that group of friends.
Yep.
You know, I'm the guy that will bring a new dude to a party.
Yep.
Right. I met a coworker. He and I are hitting it off. He's a cool dude. I think he'd mesh well with my friends. I'll bring him to a UFC fight some night.
Yeah.
And, you know, walk in and go, hey, this is my buddy John from work. And yeah. there are some of my friends that are like, dude, what are you doing? We don't know this guy. Why are you bringing him
okay,
over
so
to the house?
It sounds like you got some douchebag friends.
So let me ask you this.
It's just that, again, it's that we since kindergarten, yeah. it's been the 6, 8, 10 of us.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's. And that group has grown to 12 to 15.
So you guys take a picture afterwards, like for the night, you like push that guy that you brought out to the side. You're not in the picture because you're not going to be here.
Yeah. No, you don't do it. Like you just have him take the picture.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you can't be rude about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm just wondering.
So
you're
like me in that you're an inviter, and this is where life can become simply frustrating at sometimes when other people that you're with or friends with aren't. So as an example, if I have a buddy coming into town or whatever, I would be like, to everyone else, the Vegas group or whatever, I'd be like, I got a buddy coming to town. We're going to grab some food. Anybody want to join us? That's very natural for me, and that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Someone else would be like, I can't do that tonight. I've got a buddy coming into town. End of story. There's not going to be any more invites. It's me and him, nothing else. So when you're an inviter and you have friends that aren't inviters, you're like, what the hell, dude? Like, I invite you to everything. You invite me to nothing. Maybe they just don't like me. That's possible.
He gets very pissy by this, by the way.
Like, in a bit of a trolling way, but yeah.
The other night. He says he's not going to the Iowa State game. So we don't think to invite him. So we're talking about, hey, we're going to go out for dinner before the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game.
I think I was referring to Saturday. I wasn't going, but whatever.
Oh, wow. It's already butthurt. I can feel it. Yeah. I heard it there. Wow. And
basically, he goes, thanks for the invite, jackasses.
Well, that's my standard. That's my standard text response.
And he couldn't even go anyway. He couldn't even. Here's the thing.
I couldn't go. About the invite.
If we're talking about this in front of you, don't you just kind of assume that you're invited? Like, I'm not rude. If I'm going to do something and I don't want you to go, I'm not going to talk about it in front of you. So if I'm talking about it, you're more than welcome to come. That's the way I look at it. Do you agree with that? Especially if you're in the Vegas group text chain,
well,
right? And you're going with like four or five other guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables that make that to your rule there. But I don't know that necessarily – because I'm guilty of talking about stuff in front of people that I don't want to – them to necessarily be a part of those things.
Yeah,
I
try very hard not to do
that.
Yeah,
I would be guilty of that, I think.
But really, it comes down to, at least for me, how you grew up. And I'm one of six kids in my family. My mom, my grandma were everyone in my family. My grandma was one of 12. My mom was one of 8. And they're always inviting. I mean, seems like every Christmas we have somebody that comes and shares Christmas with us.
Yeah.
When I played baseball in college, Australians who couldn't fly back to be with their family on Christmas,
came
to our house.
Yeah.
So to me, it's always been that way, and our family's always been kind of open and inviting because we're just a big family, and big families, that's kind of how you do things. And so I don't know any different. Like I would feel awkward if I didn't invite everybody. Hmm. But
Coming and doing this with you guys.
I'm just weird. I admit it. Like, that's the cool thing about getting older. You can just admit what you are. I mean, it's like, whatever. If I'm a dick, so be it.
Did you have stuff you wanted to talk about today?
I've got a quiz for you guys.
Are we going to talk about Iowa State at all?
If you want to. Not in depth. No, we don't do that with Ross here. Senior night happened the other night.
What'd you think? Did you cry, Mark?
I'll be honest with you here. I'm going to use my favorite word. You know what that one is. I got moist.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no dripping of tears. I got moist. You know,
you should be embarrassed in that.
My wife asked me this morning because she said, "What are you going to talk about?" And she's noticed this trend of normally people that played high school, but is it sad when your career ends, right? And I think it is to a certain extent. You realize anytime you move on in life to the next step, there's some excitement about moving on, and there's some sadness about what you're leaving behind. Hence why guys watch their highlight videos from high school and stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to let those things go.
You don't do that.
I haven't done that in years, but I certainly own one.
I don't have a highlight video, or I probably would watch it, Mark.
But Katie, who works here, she's got a boyfriend who's only 26, I think, and she says when him and his buddies come over, I think he's from Carroll, they like go in the basement and watch the highlight vids and stuff. So it's part of it. It's what happens. Senior night was awesome. Good speeches.
Yep.
Feels a little bit awkward when I understand why they do it when they give the guys that have been here 1 year, you know, an opportunity to speak, and they don't ever say very much. But it's like the crowd, you know, we're not passionate about those guys. It's kind of the rent-a-player.
We would be if they were better. Like if it was DeAndre Kane getting up there to give the speech afterwards, he would get
exactly
more.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to kill Bowie or Holden, but if they actually came and had a bigger impact, fans would love them.
Yeah. How do they do it at Iowa? Do they do a speech after the game at Iowa?
And Fran does it different. I think he actually does it like before the game or something.
Okay.
It's a weird deal over there.
Yeah.
And I think Fran does it before the game.
Most schools do, it seems like, don't they? I know Kansas does it after.
Well, no, Prohm addressed that directly, actually.
I don't think they do the speeches, though, either. I think it's just like a presentation.
No
type
speeches?
Deal.
Prohm said this, and he's very accurate in this. He says, we're one of the only places in the country where we can wait until the game's over to do this because you still have 14,000 people there.
Right.
So
everyone did stick around. There might have been 1,000 fans.
There were a lot of people there.
But
a lot of people.
It was packed. It was a great crowd. It was a good night. How good of a speaker is Naz Long?
Naz Long's good. Matt Thomas did a good job. Monte did a good job.
Who talked louder, Monte or Matt? Those two. Those two are those best man speeches where you're like, good job, okay, wrap it up, guys, wrap it up.
Yeah, but you realize, I mean, these guys gave a lot. I mean, to play 4 years of college ball, mostly starting, a lot of minutes, that's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort that I think we don't appreciate fully how much time these guys put into these things. And Monte is quietly one of the best ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize that. He's got the assist record now. He's got the steals record at Iowa State. Great player. I mean, hopefully he does catch on in the NBA. But I think there's always a little bit of sadness when seniors leave, especially we had a lot of them this year. I mean, 6. I mean, next year, who knows what we're going to look like.
You're not counting Stu in there for 7?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sling out there with his arm.
His speech was good. He did a good job.
He was funny. Yeah. He said the highlight of his, for people that didn't see it, was he was a freshman at Iowa State sitting in the student section. And he said, I just started thinking to myself, I'd like to play basketball. So I emailed Fred. That's how it started. Just emailed Fred and probably said, I'm a really tall dude on campus. Can I meet with you?
I'm 6'9". I think I could help you guys out a little bit.
And lo and behold, he made the team. So that's how
that started. That's funny.
But no, I walked away. It was a good night.
It was a good night. Got home at about, 11:45?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Still feeling that, by the way. Too old to be up that late.
Do you guys want a bit of a quiz here?
Let's do it.
I'm going to do this. It combines the love of movies and the love of sports. And I've got two – I'm going to see if you guys can do this. I've got two different quizzes here for you. related to the same topic, but what's interesting is I'm going to ask you for the top 10, see how many you can name, top 10 highest grossing sports films of all time.
Wow.
Now let me say this, because this is interesting, and I'm going to see if you guys know why this is, other than lack of interest, which is technically true. None of the top 10 are baseball movies. I'm going to ask you a sub-question about baseball movies. None of the top 10 are a baseball movie. Do you know why that would be? Think about baseball movies for a second, and why would none of them be in the top 10 other than baseball is boring or whatever? Do you have a good reason?
I don't, actually.
So, top 10 grossing. No, I can't, and none of them are baseball movies.
Correct. None of them.
I'm guessing most of them are newer, just because of the simple fact that it seems like...
Top grossing, you would think that usually, I mean, the newer movies make a lot more money.
So here's the reason. The real reason behind this. Baseball movies aren't highest grossing overall because, for the most part, they don't distribute baseball movies overseas.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay.
The other
sense.
Movies they do. Nobody gives a crap baseball. Right, and, you know, when you think they would, they play baseball in Japan and, you know, a lot of places around the world. It just doesn't have the distribution that other sports movies do.
That makes sense. I mean, rugby movies aren't big here. Right?
No.
This is true. This is true. Some soccer, I'm not going to say it was a big movie. Have you ever seen the movie Victory, by the way? Soccer movie with Stallone.
No.
Really good movie. You might actually like this. It takes place, they're, Americans are prisoners of war in a German concentration camp in World War II. And they form a soccer team, and they play the German guards, and it's related around an escape and stuff. It's really cool, actually. Victory. All right, top 10. See how many you can name here.
Oh man, okay. So no baseball movie. So I mean, A League of Their Own is not in there, which is shocking to me.
I still gotta think Rocky would be in that top 10. I mean, that's a movie.
How many Rockies are in the top 10?
I'm gonna give you Rocky.
Yep.
That is the fifth highest grossing.
Okay, and maybe Rocky IV.
Rocky IV is number 2.
Okay.
On that list.
And then...
Would Rocky II be on that list?
I don't think Rocky II is going to be there. I
would guess. Gray gets the point.
Oh!
That's all the Rocky movies.
Yep. Okay. So that's 3 of the top 10.
I can't believe Rocky V didn't make the list.
No, that sucked, dude. That sucked.
Have you seen Creed, by the way?
Yes, very good.
Pretty good movie.
Very good.
Okay, let's see.
Is Creed on the list?
Creed is not on the list.
Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby comes in at number 4.
Boom.
See, and that's the problem with this. Like,
that's a good movie.
Yeah. It's boxing.
Is it the number 4 sports movie of all time?
To me, it's not even – I shouldn't even count it as a boxing movie. Right. I mean, I know it's centered around that, but it's so much more than
that. Well, in that vein, like Raging Bull?
Raging Bull's not.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Remember the Titans?
Nope. That's a good one. What about The Program or Varsity Blues?
Neither.
42 is be a baseball movie, and it's not a fantastic
one. Yep, won't be in there.
Boy.
Cinderella Man?
Cinderella Man's not.
Is horse racing a...
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
That is a sport, you bet.
What is the...
starts with an S.
It wasn't Secretariat.
Nope, that's not a movie.
No, it's not a movie. What was the...
No, actually, that is a movie, but it's not in the top 10.
Okay, I was going to say.
But I will tell you, there's another horse movie in there.
And it's on there?
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Oh, gosh. Another horse
movie. And I'm going to...
As soon as he says it, I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
Seabiscuit.
That was your S.
That was what I was thinking of with... who was it? Diane Lane?
No, she was in Secretariat.
Okay.
Seabiscuit has Tobey Maguire. He's the jockey.
Yeah.
And very good movie.
Very good.
Almost put that one together. This is why we were good at the size night of trivia.
All right, here you go.
We brainstormed to the answer.
I wasn't there.
That's why the team was good.
You guys should get these quickly. 2 football movies, both starring Adam Sandler.
The Longest Yard?
Yep.
And Waterboy?
Waterboy.
That's embarrassing. But that's both of those.
All right, so you got 3 movies left. I'll give you the sports.
Okay.
One you'll get automatically.
Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore.
Nope, not Happy Gilmore. One is basketball, one is football, one is ice hockey.
Miracle?
Miracle, yeah.
No, not Miracle.
Oh, Mighty Ducks?
Nope.
Not Slapshot.
Did I say hockey?
You said hockey.
You said hockey.
Yeah, my bad. Ice skating.
Ice skating.
Oh, Blades of Glory?
Blades of Glory is number 10.
Stop it.
It is.
This is an embarrassing
list.
Where did you come up with this?
All right, that leaves you with basketball and football.
I like Blades of Glory. I'm just going to say I enjoy that movie quite a bit, actually.
I believe this is from Box Office Mojo, by the way, is the source of this list.
Okay, so we have football still?
Football and basketball. Two left.
Hoosiers?
Not Hoosiers.
Basketball. Glory Road?
Nope.
Semi-pro.
Nope. You got to think a big potential audience for this movie, not just adults. There's your
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Oh,
number three.
You know, I was going with Air Bud. Yeah.
The one movie you're missing right now is number one on the list.
What? It's football, and it's not Remember the Titans. What other football movie would be?
Football movie.
Not any
number
given
one
Sunday.
Sports grossing movie of all time.
We should know that this is if it's number one. Are you surprised?
This list has been embarrassing so far. I take no shame in not knowing this. No shame. What is it?
Give me a hint.
The main star of the movie is a female.
Wildcats.
Wildcats?
It's Wildcats, isn't it?
It's not. Nope, it's not.
The Replacements, that one chick, the cheerleader.
Kathy Ireland was in Necessary Roughness what movie we're talking about.
Nope, you guys will kick yourself when you don't get this.
The main character was a female.
This is great radio, but screw yourself.
Draft day. It's draft day, isn't it?
Oh, that movie stunk, dude.
What?
It was not draft day.
Draft
day
was...
It's okay.
No,
I think
horrible.
Draft day is a good movie.
I'm in the middle of that one.
All right. The number one movie, sports movie of all time, is The Blind Side.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for not knowing that. That surprises.
The Blind Side. All right, let's quickly jump over because I want to see how you do it in movies. Right. Now, here's an interesting thing, okay? The top grossing baseball movie of all time. Think about this in scale movies. This might surprise you. $107 million. Maybe that's why they don't make more baseball movies. That's not a lot of money in today's
movies. I would thought maybe you were going to go with Mark. The only thing that came to my mind before you explained it was the overseas thing.
Yep.
The only thing that came to my mind... It's a summer sport, and summer movies do not do well.
Yep.
And so trying to – can you really strike while the baseball interest is hot and still get people to go spend 2 hours inside of a movie theater?
Yep.
I don't know.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but once you start throwing around things like The Waterboy and The Longest Yard and that garbage –
I know.
That we're obviously talking about rentals and
sure.
I mean, you know, this the stuff that has stuck around for a long time.
Let me give you a quick rundown real quick. Okay. Here is 11 through 20, so you can rule these out. The Natural, Fever Pitch, Hardball, Million Dollar Arm, Trouble with the Curve, For Love of the Game, which I just watched the other night, Bad News Bears, Sandlot, Major League 2, and Mr. 3000. Those are not in the top 10. None of those.
So
what are?
So Major League.
Major
is,
League would be one of them, yep.
Major League is number 10.
What about the Benchwarmers?
Benchwarmers is number 6.
How horrible.
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own is number 1.
Boom, that's the best movie of all time.
Number 1. How many others can you get?
Let's
Boulder,
see.
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham's number 8.
Yep.
The Natural, did you say?
The Natural's just outside.
Yep. And The Sandlot was already off the list.
Which is kind of surprising a little bit in The Sandlot.
I agree.
Let's see.
You're missing an incredibly obvious.
Field of Dreams.
That's number 5.
I just watched that with Eli. That's a good one. What about Eight Men Out wouldn't be? It's way past the 20.
So I looked this up. Eight Men Out, surprisingly, get this, great movie, made $5,680,000 bucks.
Yep. Too slow. Let's
see. So you got 5. You got 5 left to go.
Brewster's Million should be on that list somewhere.
I doubt they consider that one. Great movie, though.
Let's see.
Fantastic movie.
I mean, there's a lot of baseball movies. Old ones like Bang the Drum Slowly.
I'll give you one you won't get because it's lame. Angels in the Outfield. Yeah, that was number 9.
See, I don't think
there's
about
nothing
the kid.
Lame about that when you're a kid. When you're a kid, it's a good movie.
What about would Naked Gun be considered?
Nope.
Baseball movies.
Two of them came out probably within the last 5-6 years. Yeah, so they're more recent. And then the one other one you're missing.
Oh, what's the one where the guy goes back and pitches after he is like 40 years old?
Oh, The Rookie.
The Rookie.
That's a fantastic movie. I like that one.
The Rookie.
What about Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year's on there.
Okay. Nice.
Yep, Rookie of the Year's on there. The Rookie. Man, that must be way down here.
Man, that one should have been up there.
That was a Disney movie, which I figured would have probably.
I don't know. Maybe they might not even have it on this. Oh, no. You're right. Number 4.
Is Rookie?
Yep. Rookie of the Year and The Rookie. So that leaves you with basically two. Two left.
Can you give us a premise of one of the two?
We were talking about it earlier, having to do with baseball and color. There you go. There's your clue.
Oh, okay.
42
yeah. is number two, and you're missing the third movie.
And your clue, Bad News Bears?
No. Your clue is it was a book before it was a movie.
You already said Trouble at the Curve.
I already said Field of Dreams.
I don't read books. This is not this. That is nothing
didn't
for
help
me.
Didn't help me at all. Who is it?
Will the author help you?
Maybe.
Michael Lewis.
No.
Who?
Michael Lewis.
Never heard of her.
Wrote The Big Short. Michael Lewis wrote a movie called Moneyball.
Oh, gosh. Golly, man.
That's actually really embarrassing. That one we should have known.
Yeah, that's
Brad Pitt, man. That's all you need to know. You guys did pretty good. I was like looking at this because what we think in our minds is usually not what's on the page.
Did you like 42?
I thought it was okay.
42 felt a little hokey to me. A little Disney-esque. Yeah. You know? It wasn't as gritty as it should have been. And they didn't want it to be. I think they wanted it to be more family-friendly. Because I think, not to go down this road, but from memory, did they even use...
But I will anyway.
Did they even use the N-word in that movie? That's my point.
I don't know. To be honest, they might have, and I wouldn't.
Because
I
in a remember. Like an HBO-esque R-rated movie, they of course use that word. Yeah. In the Disney-fied version, they wouldn't.
You mentioned that you watched For the Love of the Game.
Yeah,
I think that's an underrated movie. I like For the Love of the Game.
You better not, like flashbacks because that thing's got 50 of them.
Not great. Not a great movie, but
you know what ruined that movie a little bit for me is when they take an actor and put him in a role that he's supposed to be good at sports. And he's not. I'm not talking about Costner. Do you remember the other actor that's in that movie?
Oh, the catcher. The Step Brothers guy.
John C. Reilly.
Thank you.
Does not look athletic at all and should not be a major league catcher in that movie.
I have the same problem with the Sean Austin has the movie about the...
Rudy?
It's the baseball movie about Iowa.
Oh, The Final Season. Yeah.
Never seen it.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Tons of problems with that movie, but anyway,
pacing.
You know,
same
it was made
thing
in
with
Iowa, so we're all supposed to love it.
Same thing with Remember the Titans. Like anytime you have a scene where like one football player is chasing another one down, and the scenes last seem like 30 seconds, and you're like, you would have run 200 yards by now. Right. You're out of room.
Well, most people aren't as fast as you, though, Charter.
That's true.
That's the problem.
That's true. I agree with that wholeheartedly. There's no question about it. What is so on this category? What is your favorite sports movie? Do you have one?
Rudy, Field of Dreams would be up there.
Are you a Hoosiers guy?
I love Hoosiers. I actually just watched Hoosiers the other day with the kids.
Does it get any better when he says, I love you guys, in the huddle? Like, when the story is, and the best scene in Hoosiers by far for me is when they have the meeting to fire him.
And Jimmy?
Jimmy Chitwood comes in and says, I figured it's time for me to start playing ball. And the one guy from Major League who puts Crisco on the ball stands up and says, I told you as soon as we got rid of him. He goes, one more thing. I play Coach Stays, basically.
Yeah.
And they're like, take a Revo.
He goes, I go.
I love that. I love that movie, dude.
That is a good movie.
Hoosiers is very good. Field of Dreams has some great stuff in it.
Am I allowed to say that I think Field of Dreams is a little overrated?
Field of Dreams is the common denominator for Field of Dreams, and again, you were one of a litter of six. So dad had a lot of kids to get around to. But the people that relate most with that are the people, in my opinion, that played catch with dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For sure. And my dad played catch with me. I'm sure your dad played catch with you. Baseball was a big bonding element of my childhood with my dad. There's no question about it. We talked baseball. We played baseball. We went to baseball.
Right.
All that stuff. And I think you were similar in that regard. That movie means a lot more to people that had that.
And that scene came right at the end of the movie, so it leaves you with this wonderful feeling as you leave the movie theater as you get done watching it. But for the first hour and 45 minutes of the movie, I thought it was okay.
Yeah. And obviously being in Iowa, there's a whole different thing to it. Have you been to the field before?
No, I haven't. I need to go.
I've been up there before.
You been?
Mm-hmm, multiple times, yeah.
And the other thing,
what's your favorite sports movie?
Honestly, probably
Hoosiers.
Probably said? Hoosiers is up there. I like The Natural just because of baseball past. There's a lot of good sports movies.
There are.
You know, Costner's made at least three of them. Baseball movies, I think. What else did he make other than For Love of the Game and?
Oh no, there was another
Field
one
of Dreams. He's done another one that I know of, but.
Bull Durham. Golly.
Bull, yeah, jeez. Obviously. Bull Durham.
Which would be that might be my favorite.
The greatest scene like in that Durham the greatest scene in that movie is what? There's one that sticks out to me, or a conversation in that movie.
Well, for me as a kid, it wasn't even the I like long wet kisses.
As a kid, it was Susan Sarandon probably.
Yeah, she was sexy, and then I found out she was kind of weird. I kind of lost that interest in that. But I and you know, got a weird wife. My favorite part of that was at the end of the movie when Nuke gets called up. I think this is probably my favorite moment in any sports movie, because this is life, and this goes back to the Doc Moonlight Graham thing.
Yep.
When Kevin Costner realizes another kid is getting another shot that he's helped, and it's another opportunity that he's not getting.
Yep.
And he explains to this kid, you know what the difference between a 300 and a 250 hitter is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit a week.
Yep.
In 25 weeks, if you get 500 at-bats in a season, that's 25 at-bats a week. The difference between hitting 300 and hitting 250 is 50 hits.
Hall of Fame versus scrub.
That's it.
Basically.
And that's a duck snort. It's a dying quail that finds its way. That's the difference between making it, being a Major League Baseball player, and dudes that are never going to have to buy another drink at the local bar, and being a guy that is a AAA hero that nobody ever remembers, and you came that close to your dreams and you never got to achieve it. To me, that's the emotion of sports. And you kind of alluded to it with the senior night thing. That last night, I didn't know you played college baseball.
Not well. Very
dude,
JUCO.
It doesn't matter.
JUCO and I.
I played high school baseball, and I remember taking my uniform off for the last time. I remember wearing it home, wearing it into my parents' basement, and crying, knowing I'm never putting on another uniform that matters again in my life. I had zero athletic ability. I was lucky to get as far as I did.
Yeah.
And but sports meant that much to me when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I still had all this other stuff to do in my life. You take a dude that that is only that for another 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Pagel is one of my dude I've become friends with in the last like year and a half, 2 years.
Has he made it into your circle?
Not into my circle, okay. I've gone to concerts with him and stuff like that.
Keep going, Derek. Keep going,
Derek. I was with him when we found out about Tyler Sash.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a dude that played in the NFL, and he says, "Man, that moment of waking up one day from the time I was a little kid, I was a football player." And I went to Iowa, and I was a football player. And I went to the NFL, and I was a football player. And then one day you get a phone call, and they say, hey, you're not that anymore. And you're never going to be that again. And you're 26 or 28 or 30. Even if you're 34, think about that.
Yeah.
34 years old, and everything you've been your entire life, you're not that anymore. And then you got to wake up the next morning. Now, Derek's a well-adjusted dude, found a great job, is kicking ass. For a year, he said he sat on his couch and thought, he would wake up every morning and think, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know.
That's sad, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
all too common to wrap up your identity in what you do.
Yeah. So in a way, we're lucky that we had that happen when we did.
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember that. And so these dudes on senior night, the emotion that gets wrapped up in that, and we've talked about this a lot on Fanatics lately, but the time I spent with Grandview, you know, you watch a kid come in as a freshman who is just 17 years old maybe when they walk on campus. They have no idea what the world is. And then you watch that kid turn into a 22 or 23-year-old mentor for the kids that are coming in green on campus just a couple years later. It's amazing to watch that maturation. And then the parents come in, and that's the emotion of senior night. For me, as being behind the scenes with these programs, here's a parent that spent – okay, so the kid's 23, probably got started when they were 6 – that's 17 years of laundry, chasing them to practice and games, to tournaments, wishing them off to college, trying to follow games online. I mean, they're playing at Grandview, and you're from Tulsa, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what the struggle that a parent goes through to try to watch their kid have a little bit of happiness, and now that's all over too.
Yeah.
So then to watch the kids, it's emotional. You go, oh, man, they're moving on to the next chapter of their life, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, as a parent, my view turns back to mom and dad. That's where the wreck is happening.
Yeah.
Because for mom and dad, now it's a whole new identity again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they got to spend time with just the two of them.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Can you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
Why do you think so many divorces happen once the kids finally leave home, dude? happens all the time. I think that one more takeaway I had from senior day was I think that a lot of coaches do get into it for money, especially at the higher levels, because it's a lot of money. But I think a lot of coaches get into it because they want to see those things. Mm-hmm. They want to see the kids become men. They want to have an impact in people's lives. And say what you want about Prohm's strategy, you know, after timeouts out of bounds or whatever, that is what it is. But I do think, and I said this on Twitter the other day, that I think Iowa State has the right guy leading their program. And by right guy, I mean the guy that's actually going to give a crap about these kids, et cetera. The only time he really got emotional that night is when he was talking about Deonte Burton mm-hmm. and how much growth he'd seen personally from him, and he sounded like he was about to break down. That stuff matters, and you want your kids playing for a coach where that stuff matters, because 100%. You do have a lot of impact in their life.
And I think it probably, Mark, it's every coach cares about their kids like that. Now, there's different levels of that. Again, yeah. Sliding scale thing, right?
Yeah.
But I think as fans, we get caught up. That makes me kind of think of a thing of like, you know, coach doesn't want to win because he got paid. These coaches all love their kids. They just love them in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And tough love is tough love and soft love. There's all sorts of different love. They all love their kids.
It's no different than parents.
And absolutely right. Right. So I'm glad that Steve Prohm had those moments and he's got that impact. But the real bottom line is none of that stuff matters if he's not winning basketball games.
Very true.
As sad as that is. You would not be on this podcast saying, "Man, I'm really happy that Steve Prohm is growing men." If they were 4-21, right?
Great examples, Greg McDermott,
great
guy. Didn't win at Iowa State.
Yeah,
gotta go.
Well, we'll find that part about Steve Prohm next year when all of Fred's guys are gone and it's his guys.
I don't want to. The right guy.
Why are you shitting on Steve?
I'm not. You got the right guy. He is a fantastic coach. What he did with to get Burton in line, you go back to last year with Jameel McKay, he handled that perfectly when you look at that in hindsight. I think the same thing with Solomon Young. He's let that kid didn't throw him out there to get his get crushed early on.
Yep.
Let him mature into the kid that he is right now, and now you're getting the most out of him. You didn't burn the rubber off the tires in his first year. So he's handled things the right way. He's bringing in great recruits. You got the right guy. I didn't mean that to come off as that way. Thanks, Gray.
You damn hawk.
All I heard exactly. Is you kind of backpedaling there because you forgot you were on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, and all of a sudden you were reminded of it.
Backpedaling.
And it's now just another trying woman, to save yourself.
Another woman coming in to tell me
does she need to be on here?
Weakling I am and how awful my – you're getting horrible to say about me, Katie?
I come in here, and Katie is just kissing Charter's ass.
Well,
I
mean, metaphorically, let's be clear.
Yeah. She's like, "Oh, you're the best, Mark. You do such a great job. You work so hard." And it made me want to vomit. Just, it was disgusting.
Mark?
Katie should feel terrible about it.
Do you want to defend yourself or just go get lunch?
Okay.
All right. Yep. Hey, I talked about your boyfriend today, so I'll have to listen later. So. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, you can hear us out there?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm glad the doors helped.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks for inviting me out, boys.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like I didn't bring anything to you today.
Oh, you brought great insight. I'm eagerly awaiting that invite to the next party that you have. So.
I want to try to get in with your circle of friends. Like, this is a goal of mine now. This circle of friends that have been together since you guys were in kindergarten, and they don't like anyone. I want to be like
now
them.
You
don't
now
like
you
anyone, no.
Now one thing before we go, and I realize we probably should have already gone because we're over time, but this is interesting to me because
we can go as long as we want.
My group of friends, we'll call it the Vegas guys, et cetera. There's probably one guy in there, and you'll know who I'm talking about. That if shit goes down, right, it's time to get physical. We got one guy who's going to handle himself just fine in our group. And
Nick
we got,
Meyer.
Yeah, and we got a lot of other guys that are going to be like, "Oh, crap, this is my first fight I've ever had in my life."
Yeah.
And that's me. Your group's a little rougher than that.
Now,
you guys have all been punched in the face for the most part.
Most of them have been, yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Probably been punched. It's been a while now.
But you guys are getting older now. I hope you're out of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I played pickup basketball last night, and to me, there's still arguing going on between 35-year-olds. There's no refs. It's call your own foul, right? So guys chirping back and forth, and you know, talking a little bit and getting a little physical. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, we're 35. Yeah. I'm 31, but a lot of them are 35 years old. What the hell are we doing? You're like, you don't need to do this shit anymore.
Yeah, I get competitive and I get stupid.
Well, we're
stupid,
all competitive. We right? want to win, right? But at the end of the day, you got to realize, too, you're
Yeah, Mark, I would be I'm more the guy for the last maybe even 10 years or so that when you feel that stuff coming on, get the hell out. Like, mm-hmm. there's this – it's you. If you learn your lesson that nothing good comes from that, right? But yeah, if you got to grab somebody to help out a friend, right? You just you don't have to punch somebody in the face. You yeah. just
I think we all ask ourselves what would we do in certain situations, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to tell myself it's a good thing. It's my badge of honor that I'm 38 years old. I've never been in a fight. Either that means I'm hanging around the right people, or I can talk my way out of things. Yeah. One of the
or
two.
A combination of all things.
And I don't know if I ever should be in a fight. Probably not at this stage in life.
No.
Fighting is really stupid.
Really stupid. Really, really dumb. There's no reason to ever do it.
Okay, I won't.
If anybody wants to punch Mark Charter in the face, though.
Dude, there's been people.
You could raise a ton of money for a charity. Line them up, Mark.
Can we guarantee no teeth damage and things like that? I might be. My buddy who's on this Vegas group, he's a fighter. That's what I was talking about. He's got a past in this, and he's like, I need to get you in the ring, you know, with the headgear on and whatever, and just kind of punch you in the face a few times just so you can say, yeah, I've had it, you know, and it hurts and whatever. But I wouldn't be opposed to that, I guess.
My buddy James Jabou, who is a science teacher at East High School and has a master's degree, fought in the UFC.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he show chokeholds to his friends?
Well,
and stuff?
He's the wrestling coach he's the head wrestling coach at East. So. Yeah. And James would be in kind of that like secondary group of friends.
Yeah.
But my best friend was wrestled at State. He's also a wrestling coach at East. And that's something my friends and I, when you start to get drunk and maybe we're watching UFC fights or something, that's not uncommon for my friends and I to kind of
wrestle around a little bit.
Right. Takedowns for dollars or, you know.
Do you agree with this that wrestlers have a different mentality?
No, 100%.
Yeah, you don't mess with the wrestler.
100%.
It's just like those are the guys that they're just not going to give up.
Those are my people. That's my people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, I give up. Let's go grab a beer.
So you do that watching UFC. Growing up, we'd watch Rocky. We'd put Rocky on, and we'd watch it. And then me and my brothers would sit there right afterwards, and we would just box, and we'd beat the hell out of each other.
So my dad was a Golden Gloves official when I was a kid. Yeah, my dad fought in Golden Gloves and then was an official when I was growing up and helped out with the East Side Boxing Academy or club, whatever it was called. So boxing was a big part of growing up. It was like a big sport in our house. Do you remember Vinny Pazienza?
No.
Okay, never mind. You don't know the name either, Charter?
Nope.
There is a movie out right now called Bleed for This.
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah.
Did you really? That's when he passed
it? That's
him. Oh, but yeah. It's a great movie.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
I think it's great.
Okay.
I like Miles Teller. I'm a big fan of his.
Is that the actor?
The actor. Yep. Okay. He's in Whiplash.
Yeah. So that's a real – I remember that dude being a
– That's a crazy story.
Such a fun fighter. It was amazing when we were kids to have watched that.
Anyway, yeah, I don't remember that.
Don't know where that came from.
I don't remember that. Growing up, I don't remember hearing anything about that story.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I've seen the preview. I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Anyway.
All right.
We're probably way over.
Yeah, we got a game watch tomorrow, fellas, at Thunderhead for the Iowa State-West Virginia game because they play on a Friday for some weird reason.
Of course they do.
6 o'clock, so everyone listening, stop out. Williams will probably buy everyone there a beer, I would imagine.
Doubtful.
He's cool with that. Isn't even me telling people that?
You did say probably.
I said probably. Gave him an out. I gave him an out.
Six, 6 o'clock tomorrow?
6 o'clock, yep. Cheer on the Clones together, and then obviously we've got the Big 12 tournament right after that. Which, are you going down, Charter?
I am absolutely going down, and I'm sure – so man, we should have talked about this already. Crap.
Meetup?
It's next week.
Yeah, meetup, are you talking about?
Yeah, it's next week. Are you going? Have you decided?
So, I have tickets.
Yep.
And right now, I would say I'm 50-50.
So
I'm probably not going.
If you, so many people have joined us down in Kansas City the last few years. We'll probably do a meetup.
Yeah.
Down there again. Stay tuned to the Twitter account. Hopefully. If you don't follow Fawcast, do it because we'll post it there.
All right.
If we're going to meet up in Kansas City. But no, I'll be there for sure. And I'm hoping, because I'm scalping tickets down there, which is fine. I'm good with that. But if Iowa State's the 2 seed, then, no, if they're the 4 seed, then they're in that same session with Kansas on Thursday, which means tickets go way, way up because demand. So I'd be okay with them being a 2 or 3.
Well, let's talk off air. I might ask him to give you or sell you.
Ooh.
I give you shit.
Oh, nice. I like
Thanks
it.
For having me out, guys.
I like it.
Awesome. Thanks
guys. Ross.
You bet.